Now, Apple's grown to become a very sophisticated marketing company. We do research on our brand awareness, advertising recall, market share. But I received a letter from a 6.5-year-old boy a few months ago, which to me completely sums up what we've accomplished in the last few years. And it reads, "Dear Mr. Jobs, I was doing a crossword puzzle and a clue was, as American as Apple blank. I thought the answer was computer, but my mom said it was pie."
The best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, when not writing best-selling Apple books, you'll find him at the tattoo parlor getting Ink of the Queen or yet another Coldplay tattoo. Leander Caney is here.
Good one.
How many Coldplay tattoos can you fit on one chest? You should get a picture for Instagram, Leander.
Well, that, I'm just putting them over at the top of each other, so... Sooner or later.
Good idea. You got Chris Martin on your thigh, on your calf. You love Chris Martin. There's nothing wrong with that.
I love Coldplay so much.
Well, Lewis is off gallivanting in Europe, having drinks. He's already posted like 15 pictures of all the drinks that he's having off in Europe. And isn't he, he's just doing like a European drinking tour. That's literally the purpose of his trip, isn't it?
I think it's a UK drinking tour, so it's even more specific than that.
Oh my goodness. And he's going to be throwing the darts while he's up there, of course.
Yeah, he's going to some big tarts festival in Leeds.
Did you say darts or tarts?
Tarts.
Is that a pejorative?
Might be darts and tarts. Who knows? But I think primarily darts.
That's a pejorative for the men in the dart world. How dare you? How dare you? But he was showing me some pics of his dart utility belt that he has. He has like this really intricate. It looks like a Batman belt. It's like super polished chrome, and he keeps all of his darts in there. And what I didn't realize is he actually goes to the beach, and he finds feathers from birds who have dropped feathers. And puts those in the end of his dart so he can make them more accurate. Did you know that, Leander?
Does he really?
Yeah, he's wild. He's wild. He's like Robin Hood. He makes like the very end tip of his darts. So that when he throws them, they have just the right amount of spin and go directly into the bullseye every single time. The guy, he's wild. He's wild. Actually, you know what's funny? The thing about Lewis is the more I talk about him out loud, the more I realize he's one of the weirdest guys on the show, like one of the most the most eccentric guys on the show. He seems real normal, but when you figure out like what he's into, like the stuff that he does in his free time, he's unlike anyone I've ever met.
He is a very weird cat, yeah, for sure.
That's why you guys get along so well.
I don't know, he plucked feathers from seagulls to make his own darts. That is kind
well,
of
I don't know if it's seagulls, maybe.
What else are you going to find down on the beach? Did you say he went down to the beach?
Yeah, he goes down to the beach and he looks for like dropped feathers and stuff because he's into, I guess, organically sourced feathers. I don't know. How else would you get feathers? I don't know. How would you get a feather? I don't even know. Do they just...
I don't know. Pluck like feather a passing farm? Sparrow or something? I'm
they have
sure.
feather farms? You could pluck pharaohs or pluck feathers yourself or something? I don't know. I also don't know where we're going. We're already so far off track. Let's see here. We have a magnificent show for you guys. This week, kind of an interesting news week in the world of Apple. You probably heard there were some big leaks of the body of the next iPhone. And I'll tell you what, there was some heat. People were tweeting me about this. People were reaching out to me about this to ask if I've seen these new molds of the iPhone, the new iPhone. I guess are they going to call it the 11R and iPhone 11 and then the 11 Max. I keep wanting to say the 11S. And some people seem to like this design, but a lot of people are like, you've got to be kidding me. This is what Apple's coming out with. So I thought we could at least talk about the design a little bit. I didn't think it was that bad. I'm on the fence a little bit, but I didn't feel as passionately about this as some of you that reached out to me did. And then you may also have heard there are some tariffs that are potentially hanging over the next version of the iPhone. These were just proposed on Monday. If you live in the U.S., you know we have this tariff situation going on with China. I mean, China. And they keep escalating, and they weren't previously affecting iPads, iPhones. Thankfully, they haven't been affecting them because Tim Cook, he's been out there. He's been wheeling, and he's been dealing, y'all. He's been out there. I'm not even joking. He's been out there wooing and booing those tariffs from the White House. And thanks to his actions and his lobbying, we've avoided them. But it seems like we might not be able to avoid them any longer. And if they come into effect, you're going to see some serious, serious price increases, perhaps, on your next iPad or your iPhones. We'll talk about those. And then finally, another interesting case this week, the Supreme Court has ruled against Apple in this really big antitrust case. You may have heard some details about this, and this could affect the App Store in a huge way. It could, in fact, end up breaking open the App Store so that Apple has to allow more competition in the App Store. It could affect pricing in the App Store, and it could also mean that Apple won't be able to, well, as easily determine who's going to be allowed to include apps in the App Store. Because, you know, all that stuff is on lockdown right now. Apple controls absolutely all of it. It's their store. They do what they want. And the Supreme Court has said this lawsuit can go forward challenging that control over the App Store. So we'll talk about that towards the end. Let's see here. Before we dive into the first story, let me say thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want the best person for the job. You don't want Alex E. Heath. You want the best person. And odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates using knowledge of both hard skills and soft skills to match you with the person who fits your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their career, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for. So when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on more than just their resume. It matches you based on their skills and their backgrounds and their interests, their activities, and their passions. Matching lets you quickly get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role so you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire you're excited about. Don't do what we did and just hire someone willy-nilly. That's how you end up with Alex E. Heath. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering high-quality hires, and that's what you need, high-quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/cultcast and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions apply. Leander, did you take a look at these molds posted by the Germinator earlier this week? And if so, what did you think about the new design of the new iPhone?
Yeah, I'm with some of the, you know, some of the listeners. I think it's really hideous.
Like, you're kidding me.
It's super hideous. It's so ugly. It's unbelievable.
Wow. We have the tables have turned. I thought for sure you're going to say it's one of the most beautiful iPhone designs that you've seen. God. And here I am defending it a little bit. I didn't think it was that bad.
It's butt ugly. It's like a giant boil on the back of the phone. It's kind of mind-boggling. How could it be any uglier?
Well, so I'll link to this in the show notes for those of you that want to take a look at the actual mold. So these molds are what manufacturers use to create their cases. It's what Apple distributes, and somehow, you know, Mark Gurman got his hands on these molds.
Well, there's been quite a few, haven't there? I mean, this is not the first mold leak. There was another one earlier, the week before, maybe?
Oh, really? I thought this was like well, this is the only one that I have seen that looks exactly like this.
Okay, let me see.
Maybe there's one that came out that looks similar. I have never liked the camera module on the back of the iPhone X, the iPhone XS. I just don't love it. And I've said that before on the phone, which is one of the reasons why I went with the XR. And this one actually, I think, looks better because it's a little bit larger. And I don't know, I just didn't like that little skinny ingot that they were slapping on there before. I fully admit this is not the best looking camera design that I've seen. There's a lot of Android designs out there right now that I think do this in a more streamlined, aesthetically pleasing way. And I think the thing that's surprising about this is it just seems like such an obvious way to do this camera implementation. So it's surprising that this is what Apple decided to do. And there were some people that reached out to me this week, like I said, that were really pissed about this. And some stories, of course, that were like, Apple's doomed. I want to shout out to Warehouse at Warehouse NYC on Twitter, who said, Apple's new phones have a serious design problem, Airfon. Apple is doomed this year. I completely forgot that he even said this. Plus, you take into account the 14% price increase due to tariffs. I will never buy this ugly phone. And let's fast forward 6 months. Warehouse is going to own this phone. And you and I both know it. We're all going to own this phone. And
probably multiple.
Yeah, multiple copies. And we won't even care about this camera hump. I was a little disappointed, though. But what were you going to say?
No, well, I had a quick look at the pictures here. And you're right. They're the ones that have been circulating. I saw them on
Twitter. The same ones.
Yeah. And they actually look better in monochrome. You know, it doesn't look so bad, but there's a mock-up, you know, someone put up a mock-up of what it might look like on a white phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's like a big black square on the back there. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll grow on me.
Maybe. Well, the other thing you have to take into account is this is just the bare metal mold. It's going to look much different once they apply the glass and, you know, chamfer the edges and all that good stuff. So
right. Well, you see those mock-ups,
I'm on the fence.
You see those
officially.
Mock-ups from Ben Geskin, though? I mean,
I'm not sure I saw those.
In all the different colors.
I did see the mock-ups with all the different colors. Were those an accurate representation of the design itself, or were those just to show you what the colors were going to look like?
Yeah.
And the colors, like that new green that they added, and the new, I forget what the other color was. Was it purple or something? Purple and green.
Well, that's a hideous green one.
Yeah.
Which
it was not a
really
good looking
green. Really is mind-boggling.
But we have, okay, again, maybe these aren't real. Maybe these aren't real. Maybe they will look better in person. We have to wait to see what they look like in person. But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that green. And it reminds me of like an American muscle car. You know, like when guys get like a muscle car and they're like, I want lime green so everyone can see me peeling out in the Walmart parking lot.
Do they really ask for them in lime green? I thought they usually had them in like red.
They have
red.
Them in red. They have them in lime green. They have them in yellow. By the way, who buys a yellow car? Who buys a yellow car? I will never understand that, wanting to buy like a bright yellow car, especially if it's a Miata. So if you're buying like a Mazda Miata, like, okay, look, if you're going to get some real horsepower, right, then it doesn't matter what color you get because your car is such a boss car that it can get away with being yellow. But you get yourself a Mazda Miata, you better get black or gray or white. Do not get a yellow Miata.
Right.
Only George Takei, a.k.a. Sulu from Star Trek, could pull off like a yellow Miata because he has the personality for it. But
right, sunny most people, and fun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my, as he drives down the road. But most guys, you know, they can't get away with that color.
Well, most guys can't get away with a Miata, but you know, at all.
Yeah, I know you're right. And the funny thing is I was thinking, I kind of want a Miata.
Yeah. Well, I saw there was a car guy on Twitter I know. What's his face? I can't remember his name now. But he was saying he got a Miata. He's like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? It's like, this car's so much fun. I've become a Miata guy.
That's why I want one, because all the car guys that I follow talk about how much fun the Miata is. And if you want a convertible, there's not a lot of variety out there. And the Miata has been completely ironed out. People have them and they own them trouble free. They're fun to drive. They got a little bit of pep. So I kind of feel like eventually I'm going to end up with a Miata. I'm just not going to tell anyone. Or they'll be like, is that your Miata? I'll be like, no, it belongs to my lady. I'm just driving it.
Yeah.
She's driving my truck today. I'm going to drive a Miata. Yeah.
My Titan truck, my Titan pickup
yeah,
truck.
Yeah, it's lifted 4 feet off the ground, so she has to climb the ladder
and
to get
got,
in.
Yeah, belching coal smoke everywhere, right?
Yeah, runs off.
And here you want a yellow Miata.
We'll see you guys later. Oh, my. Anyway, so I'll let you guys check out the phone mock-ups online. There's still hope. There's still hope. We might end up with a better looking, iPhone might be better looking than this once they have it all worked out.
What are the three cameras? One of them is a zoom, right? One's a wide angle and one's like a,
I think mega wide angle, super wide angle. So there's going to be this would be the most logical implementation. I think there would be like a super wide and then maybe like, or just a wide, a medium and then a telephoto. So you have this full range of zoom, I guess. And that would be practical. I would use that all the time. In fact, that's one of the things I miss the most from my iPhone 10 is having the actual telephoto camera built in. It was really useful when taking videos of my kids and stuff because they're totally out of their minds, right? Running all over the place. I have young kids. And so you can't tell what they're going to do. And I'm way too old to be chasing after them. So I just sit, you know, in my lazy boy, just use the zoom. And that way I could just sit there with my hand halfway in my pants and just be like, yeah, run around. That's cool. We're going to play this at your wedding. So that would be useful for me. But I don't know if we have any concrete evidence of what the cameras are going to be set up for when they, you know, get start shipping these phones. That's one of the mysteries that we actually have.
Well, like the cameras are really. I mean, like, you know, have you seen all these comparisons with the Google Pixel phones? Mm-hmm. And people are saying, you know, the $400 phone, especially with the Google Pixel. What's it called? The night sight. Or night mode. What's the night mode called? I can't remember now.
I don't remember either.
But, you
know, but I know it works seemingly pretty well.
They do, but they do kind of, you know, they're not super realistic pictures. You know, I've seen a lot of debate about this. You know, Apple sort of like tends to, I think, to try to create realistic pictures. So it's nighttime pictures. You know, they look like it's at the nighttime. Whereas some of the Pixel ones, you know, I saw one of someone took a picture of his kid in what he said was a completely dark room, and it looked like it was sunlight coming in. It was crazy.
We got to start getting our hands on some of these Android phones, don't you think? I feel like I don't get enough exposure with these Android phones, hands-on time with these Android phones, to really be able to make a...
Good comparisons, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because, well, I mean, I've touched them a little bit, and I've heard what people say about them, but I need to spend some time with these phones, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
We could try, you know, we can try to reach out to some manufacturers and see if we can get them. I mean, they used to send them to us. They used to send the Killian all the time in the UK. Maybe we can get them here. And the latest, you know, like there's some remarkable stuff from the I think it's the Huawei phones, the new Huawei phone.
Huawei. I feel like if you're to say that, you got to say it that way.
Okay. Well,
yeah, but of course, then it steals your data and sends it to the Prime Minister of China.
Right. I know. There's that. You know, there's the spying. But apart from that, the camera looks remarkable. They had this one shot of someone's like on top of a skyscraper, and they're zooming down to a couple of people playing chess in this plaza below, and it zooms in, and you're like, you see them playing chess, and you're like, my God, that is so clear. That's like a crazy, you know. You couldn't get that from a really powerful DSLR lens.
Yeah.
And then it zooms in even further to the chess pieces, and it's madness. It's bonkers. And then when it pulls back out again, they're like two tiny little dots. Like, I don't know. Actually, I'm kind of skeptical, you know, whether that's a real thing or not, because it just looked too amazing.
I'm skeptical, too, because I feel like with camera stuff, a lot of the features they add in many phones and many cameras, they're gimmicks. And when it comes right down to it, some of these HDR features that they build in, or if they add a ton of megapixels, which it sounds like is what's going on in the camera that you just described, it doesn't work as well as it does in the demonstration. That's one of the things I find to be so impressive about the new iPhones, is that computational HDR. I know we talk about this all the time. It's truly incredible. It's one of the biggest innovations that has ever happened in the iPhone, in my humble opinion. It takes beautiful photos so consistently, and I like that HDR, that HDR magic that it works in. I know some people out there don't like it. They're like, I want to see all the creases in my face, and I don't like that it's smoothing out my skin tones. I think most people like looking better and younger in their photos. They don't really want to have their face look like it actually looks, right? We know the reality. Let's not mess with the fantasy. I want to remember myself in 30 years looking the way the iPhone XR portrays me looking.
Don't you? Wouldn't it be good to have a slider? You know, so you could say, you know, it could be, you know, ugly reality at one end, and then, you know, fantasy, beautiful fantasy at the other.
That's actually not a bad idea.
So you could
have
it along.
A degree. Yeah. A little, a lot, easy, medium, hard.
Because I think
fantasy mode.
A lot of the criticism Apple's been getting, you know, for the latest round of cameras, or rather, you know, the unfair comparisons is that, you know, these latest Google phones, for example, you know, take these amazing pictures, but they don't look realistic. You know, they do look kind of fake. They're striking, which I don't know. You know, so there's a kind of I think aesthetically that I quite like it. But
do you mean
they don't
you
look
mean
real.
The Android phones?
Huh?
Do you mean the Android phones or
yeah,
iPhones?
The latest Pixel phones. You know, I've seen like a whole bunch of pictures where people have been doing these comparison shots, and you know, they, like I said, they do look, some of them look really, really striking images. You know, but the colors aren't natural, and you know, there's too much pop there.
Yeah, like too much saturation.
Yeah, which I quite like, but you know, it's, I can see the debate. You know, do you want it to be realistic? Do you want it to be eye catching, or do you want it to be realistic?
I don't like having too much saturation. Most cameras don't pull that off very well. In particular, some of the Samsung phones I've seen that do that, I totally agree with you. It just looks fake. Well, plus, but they do that on purpose because it catches people's eye and they like having all those vibrant colors.
Yeah, it's like going in a Best Buy, isn't it? Looking at all the TVs there, you know, on display, and they've all got the color turned up and they all look really crazy because that's how they've been tuned for the showroom. Mm-hmm. Then you get it back home and, you know, someone's skin is orange. The newscaster's skin is like bright growing orange and you're like, what the heck? But yeah, yeah, and plus you can always add the effects afterwards, can't you, in an app, right? You know, like Instagram or whatever. Yeah, if you'd like to.
That's why I like the 10R and the 10S and the 10S match is the HDR. The colors are beautiful. They are artful. They enhance the photo. Again, my opinion, I know some people, Buster doesn't like it at all. He just wants to see the cold, hard truth. And I don't mind a little bit of magic worked in there.
Yeah, well, I think the latest HDRs really tone it down, don't they? Because like initially the first HDR ones, they look like HDR pictures. They were
You look like an Oompa Loompa if you turned it on. It would turn your face orange and it would exaggerate all the shadows and bring them way up.
Right. But and now it's much more subtle, isn't it?
Exactly. There's something about the way that the iPhone does it that has changed the nature of HDR. HDR has been around for a long time, and I never used it because it always looked fake. You could look at a photo and you could say, that's HDR.
Right.
But with the iPhone photos, it is able to mimic a much higher quality camera's capability of dynamic range, which is what HDR is trying to do, except HDR always does it in a synthetic way, whereas the iPhone does it in a much more natural way, and it makes it look like the camera quality is much higher than a mobile camera.
Right.
So that's why I really love it. And I've said this before, and people don't think that I'm being serious, but I have a brand new Fuji X-T3. It's a great camera. Does it take better pictures than the iPhone XR? Yes, of course it does in most scenarios. But there are certain situations where I've taken pictures with my iPhone XR, and I have found the pictures to be more pleasing than the Fuji X-T3. Now, are they scientifically better? Probably not, but the way the iPhone rendered the photo, I just thought was more pleasing than what the X-T3 was able to do. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Right, yeah.
X-T3, still an incredible camera. I'm not saying that it's bad in any way. In fact, I love it. Okay, let's... actually, before we move on, let me give a quick thank you to Netgear for supporting this episode. I'm on a router kick. I love routers. I wish people liked routers as much as I do because I love talking about routers. I love testing routers. I've always been a router guy. Like, the more antennas, the better. Like, I look at one of those crazy-looking routers with the antennas all over it, and I just go, baby, let's see how fast this thing is. It's like looking at a sports car. That's how I look at it, right? Well, I was investigating some of the most powerful routers in the market, and coincidentally, serendipitously, Netgear reached out to me and said, hey, we've got this new line of Wi-Fi routers that we're coming out with. Can we sponsor the show? And I said, heck yeah. And they've got this new line of Wi-Fi 6 routers. It's a new technology. Wi-Fi 6 is here. And the Netgear Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 router gives you ultra-fast speeds and wider coverage throughout your home. It's the biggest revolution in Wi-Fi ever. You get 4 times the capacity compared with today's Wi-Fi, which means you can connect more stuff to it. You know, your iPhones, iPads. Connect more devices, all without impacting Wi-Fi speed and reliability. And plus, you know, if you have an old router, it might be timing out. You might be having issues with it. Plus, it probably can't keep up with all the high-performance devices that you have in your house. With a new Wi-Fi 6 Netgear router, you can stream shows like Netflix, Hulu, all the 4K stuff that you want to use at home, routing it to all these different devices with your Netgear router. It will eliminate buffering and help you stream more smoothly. Like I said, even if it's 4K, which is starting to be more prominent these days, it's like giving your streaming the VIP treatment. And if you game online, it's going to help there. Your lag will be seriously decreased. You can churn up Wi-Fi to 6 with a Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 router. Check it out today at netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. That's netgear.com/Wi-Fi and the number 6. They also just sent me one of their Wi-Fi 6 routers, which I'll be checking out soon. It just got here today. I opened up the thing. I kid you not, it looks exactly like the spaceship from Star Wars. It looks like Kylo Ren's Empire spaceship. It kind of swoops up like a W. The thing looks sinister and sleek. It looks like something that Batman would have in the Batcave. I absolutely love it. And I know there's some of you out there that love routers as much as I do. So check it out, netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. Okay, let's talk about tariffs, Leander, a topic that never in my wildest imagination did I ever think I would intentionally want to talk about here right. on the show yeah, or anywhere else, really.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, really. But many of you in the United States, you're probably following what's going on with tariffs or maybe just a little bit, and this could seriously affect your next purchase of a gadget. If you buy stuff that has steel in it, it's already affecting your purchase because there have been tariffs placed on steel. So the price of cars has gone up. The price of refrigerators has gone up. The price of anything with steel has gone up because steel costs more. Well, now we have the threat of tariffs hanging above iPhones, iPads. And the story starts this way. For more than a year, Apple has avoided major damage from the U.S. trade war with China, thanks in part to a White House charm offensive by none other than Tim Cook. The cookie's been in there. He's been wooing and booing those tariffs. And he's been meeting with the Donald and even his daughter, Ivanka, to help keep these tariffs at bay. I'm not even joking. He's been in there and talking with them. He went on this like a school tour with Ivanka Trump. I don't remember how long ago it was. But he's been doing what he can to keep these tariffs at bay. But there was a new round of tariffs proposed by the U.S. on Monday, which this time includes mobile phones, including the iPhone. That leaves the company with a difficult choice. They can either, if these tariffs go into place, raise prices on phones that are already pretty expensive and risk missing out on sales because people just may not buy them, or they can absorb the extra cost and let their profits suffer. If Apple doesn't eat the costs, JP Morgan analysts forecast a 14% price increase in iPhone retail prices if these tariffs are enacted. That would mean that an iPhone XR2, I don't know what they're going to call it, the 11R maybe? The iPhone XIR? Oh, this is getting confusing, isn't it? The XRI.2 would be going from a base price of $749 to $855. The iPhone 11 would go from a base price of $1,000 to $1,114, and the iPhone 11 Max would go from a base price of $1,250 to $1,425. China retaliated on Monday with plans to increase tariffs on U.S. imports from 25% or to 25% from 10%. This would apply to components for the iPad and the iPhone. So it actually is like a dual-edged tariff because we're tariffing. We might tariff these products being shipped from China, but now China is threatening to tariff the components that we ship to China that would go into the iPhone, right?
It's a double tariff whammy.
It's a double tariff action. Crikey. Tariff on tariff action, yeah. So the glass screen covers and facial recognition sensors that are in the iPhone are shipped from the U.S. to China for iPhones and iPads, so those will become more expensive for Apple too. So that said, my question to you, LK, what do you think Apple would do in this scenario? Do you think they would just eat the cost and keep the prices the same, or do you see them raising prices and trying to offset some of these additional expenses by having the consumer pay the additional cost?
Yeah, good question. I suspect they'll split the difference. You know?
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, because I think if they just raise prices, that's you know, like you said, I mean, these are already super pricey phones. And I think there's definitely evidence that sales are suffering because of the high prices already. And, you know, look at like, you know, Google's, the latest Pixel phones, you know, they're making a big deal about the $400 one, which of course, you know, is half the price of some of the, you know, the ones from Apple. If like the Max went up to $1,425, that's...
For the base, yeah.
Then again, you know, people are paying. They're, you know, there's a lot of people paying already, like a lot of money. You know, $1,200 for the high end phone. What's another couple hundred bucks?
That's the spirit, Gab. Right?
So, I don't know. You know, and if it's compelling with those, if people really want that, you know, those bug eye cameras, like you know, they want a phone that looks like a spider with a compound eye, then they might plump for it. But I reckon, I mean. You know, Apple's making good profits and has been making good profits and could afford, I think, to take a bit of a hit on the profits, although the shareholders would wig out. So I suspect they'll split it, you know, if it does come into play. But of course, the Donald hasn't said when this is going to happen, right? He's just sort of...
Or if, yeah. And he just proposed it, yeah.
It's just been a proposal. But yeah, it would be ugly if it did come.
Well, just speaking for yourself, if they raised the iPhone 11R to 855, and then the iPhone 11 to 1114, the Max to 1425, do you see yourself buying one of those?
Well, you know, we've had this discussion before, haven't we? You know, like,
okay, but eliminate the whole, I got to buy one because of Cultamac and I need to stay current on technology. If you didn't have to do that, would you buy one?
Well, God, I'd be hating it. I wish they would go, you know, I wish the price would go the other way.
Yeah, me too. Exactly. Me too.
But, I mean, you know, $1,400 is really, really expensive. That's yeah. MacBook pricing, you know?
Yeah, that's more expensive than a MacBook Air.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, and more expensive than I paid for the MacBook Air I bought a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I would probably go with the 10R. I love my 10R, and if they're going to add the dual camera setup, that was one of the things about the 10R that I was missing. So for me, it's like a good upgrade. Going to 1114 for the 11, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and pass on that one. That's probably going to be a little bit too rich for me. Of course, you take into account sales tax, and you know, now all of a sudden you're looking at a $1,200, $1,300 phone or a $1,600 Max. Not going to happen for me. That's why I don't think that Apple would increase the prices. I feel like they would just eat it for a while. And here's why, because they know that the tariffs most likely are going to be temporary. And they seem like they're a negotiating tactic, and they'll go into effect for a while. And then once China reduces their tariffs on U.S. products, they'll probably be dropped. And then all the tariffs will go away, because ideally you don't want to have tariffs, period. By the way, for those of you that don't know what a tariff is, it's basically a tax on the people who are buying the product in the country which the product is being imported. So in our case, it's a tax on Americans. They say they're taxing China, but China is just going to pass that expense on to the people in America. So,
well, the Chinese government, the Chinese citizens don't get charged anything. You know, if you're buying an iPhone, it's an extra $200 that gets tacked on. And of course, right. This is an American company. You know, like an American, you know, I guess, you know, an American designed in California but assembled in China. It's you know, I think a lot of people would associate it. It's like an American product.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a Chinese product. You know what I mean? It's not like something where. You know, it's not distinctly Chinese, although I guess it is.
Well, really. I see what you're saying. It's no, because they're just doing the manufacturing, and a lot of the parts that are going in are coming from all over the world, Japan, from the U.S., and then they're assembled in China, you know, and then they're shipped back to us. It really is kind of a strange, when you think about it, it really is strange the way it all works, doesn't it?
Yes, and I've got to admit, I'm not really sure what's going on with the whole, you know, Trumpy Bears tariffs. Uh-huh. Like in this case, you know, how does this hurt? How does this persuade the Chinese government to, you know, come to the table and make some concessions? Because, like I said, you know, it's a U.S. company, so it's hurting Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the levies, the tariffs are levied on U.S. consumers. So, you know, by depressing sales of iPhones, how does that hurt? I mean, Foxconn, I guess, would make a little bit less profit, right? But
look, I'm not an economist. I'm not some world-class economist. But my understanding is the reason it depresses, or it would work as a punishment for China, is because it raises the prices here and then people buy less, right? But if Apple just eats the cost, then doesn't that kind of negate the purpose? Then the prices would stay the same.
Yeah, so, you know, so then it's punishing Apple, right? For, you know, for having the manufacturing operations.
Yeah, exactly.
In China.
So it's punishing Apple.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not really sure.
And it motivates them to want to create their products here in the U.S.
And but of course,
which is another one of the purposes of the tariff.
Right. It's over a whole bunch of products and all sorts of different industries. You know, and I've been reading about soybeans. You know, and the Trump administration is going to pump a couple of $1 billion into reimbursing soybean farmers, right? Because soybean sales have completely collapsed.
Like soybean sales.
China used
which
to
is
buy
probably a huge industry
yeah.
that we know nothing about.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
big
significant,
dollars in
right? Fairly significant. And of course it used to be all the Chinese bought almost all the US soybeans, and now they're not buying them anymore because of tariffs.
That's so weird. Why can't China grow their own soybeans? They have so much land.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's so bizarre, especially if they use a lot of soybeans. Why wouldn't they just grow their own? Anyway,
I don't know, but it's a question that's going to keep me up tonight.
Me too. Let's talk for another half an hour about soybean farming. Don't you think people want to hear more about soybeans? They demand soybean discussion. We'll have to include some on
well,
the next
one
episode.
Thing as well. I mean, you said you didn't think this is going to last very long, but Trumpy Bear has said that it's going to be, you know, he's willing to go for the long, sit it out for a long time. You know, he's willing to take the pain for as long as it takes.
I mean, it could go on for a long time. Who knows? Who knows how long it could go on for? But you would think they would try to reach some sort of agreement because no one wants tariffs. China doesn't want tariffs. The U.S. doesn't want tariffs. Well, tariffs are generally considered to be a bad thing by everyone.
Right. And if you slap in on that, you know, I mean, like Apple has a lot of clout. And like you said, you know, Tim Cook has been able to keep him at bay so far. Maybe if they slap some tariffs on Apple, you know, it would like cause such a freak out that...
Yeah,
you know, especially with the launch of the new models, that you know, that would cause some action.
Well, particularly if it affects Apple's bottom line and starts hurting people who are investing in Apple and affecting their stock price and stuff, that would put pressure on the administration to say, yeah, maybe we should carve out an exception for Apple and maybe leave it in place just for Huawei. And let's just tax their stuff. Of course, they're not even allowed to sell here anyway, right? So I guess it doesn't matter. Let's move on to this other story, final story of the day. This was a big court decision. I've been following this, and I think it's really interesting. So there was a lawsuit levied against Apple by people purchasing apps, and they're saying Apple has a monopoly on the App Store, and they are manipulating prices by being in charge of the entire store and not allowing more competition, and so it's, you know, it's affecting pricing. And I don't know all the intricacies of the story, but I know that this went to the Supreme Court because Apple was trying to say we can't be sued by people purchasing apps. We can only be sued by app developers because you're not purchasing the apps from Apple. You're purchasing the apps from the developers. Apple's just a middleman. And that was the purpose of this case. And that's why it went to the Supreme Court, because Apple was trying to get it dismissed, saying that the people who were initiating the lawsuit, it's a class action lawsuit, didn't have standing, aka they shouldn't be allowed to sue Apple because they're not developers. And the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that, well, let me just read this. The case involves whether customers technically buy apps from Apple or whether Apple is a middleman connecting app developers to consumers. The Supreme Court ruled against Apple on Monday 5-4 that the case could proceed. The Apple versus Robert Pepper case dates back to 2011. The broad argument is that Apple has artificially driven up prices of apps by virtue of its monopolistic control over the App Store by passing the cost of Apple's 30% cut onto consumers. iPhone users argue that it is unfair. It is an unfair use of the monopoly power. Apple, meanwhile, has argued that only app developers, not users, should be able to bring this lawsuit. Yada yada yada. I already mentioned that part. So,
well, that was Apple's argument, right? To try to get the case thrown out, which the Supreme Court rejected. So now the case is going to go forward.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's what corporations do as their first line of defense, though. It's just trying to get it thrown out on a technicality, right? If you don't have standing, like standing is one of the most basic precepts of law. Like you can't sue me on behalf of somebody who I punched, you know, because I didn't punch you.
Right.
Now, if you want me to punch you, we can talk about that.
Right.
But, <yeah. laughs> but anyway, the reason I think this story is interesting because it goes down to the quality and the monopoly in the App Store. We've talked about this before. I don't necessarily love that Apple has control over everything that goes into the App Store because I think they unfairly exclude apps and they also control pricing. So pricing can't be as low as it otherwise might be because of Apple's cut being built in. But also they purposefully exclude apps for all these opaque reasons. Apple can say, well, your app competes with something that we do, so you don't get in. Or there's a company called Gab. We've talked about this before. They're basically a Twitter competitor. Now, Gab has had all of these strange accusations hurled at them, like they are alt-right or whatever. They're just like Twitter. They are a tweeting, short messaging platform, and Apple will not let them into the App Store because they say that they have, I don't even know, I'm trying to go by memory here. They have alt-right people using the platform or people that are unsavory using the platform. And I'm like, yeah, have you looked at Twitter lately? Twitter has all those exact same people using the platform, and they're allowed to have an app on the App Store. So does Minds.com. So I think that Apple unfairly controls who's in the App Store, and I would like to see more people allowed to sell their apps in there, just because the internet is supposed to be a place everyone can, it's supposed to be a place that everyone can participate in, right? I didn't say that very well, but if you don't have an app available on the App Store, you don't exist. Apple has 1.2 billion devices right now, and the App Store has replaced the internet at large in many capacities. People just use apps. They don't go to websites anymore on their mobile devices, and everyone uses their mobile device for browsing the web now, way more than they do their computer. So if Apple doesn't let you on the App Store, you basically don't get to exist on the web. And I think that's unfair for Apple to do. And this case could force Apple to change the nature of the App Store and allow more competition in, or allow people to sell apps, maybe even in other app stores. I don't know where this could head, but the fact that the Supreme Court is allowing this to go forward is going to be extremely interesting. Did you have anything you wanted to add here, Leander?
Well, I'm sort of conflicted because, you know, on the one hand, the App Store was an amazing innovation. You know, it was, it really changed the way that that people got software, you know, on your devices, right? And I remember growing up on the Mac and the whole shareware world, and, you know, downloading apps from the web, and you often didn't know exactly what you were getting. You know, it was easy for people to sneak in, you know, malware into downloads. And you know what it's like, you know, remember in the early days of the Mac, you know, like you'd have to go to the developer's website and download the software from them. And sometimes for the sketchiest software, you know, like say like a BitTorrent client, you know, you weren't really kind of sure what you were getting, you know, could you trust this software or not? I remember like jumping through all kinds of hoops, you know, trying to find like a uTorrent client or something like that, you know, like, should I trust this one? And all these reports that this, you know, that it was going to install some malware onto your computer, or, you know, some keylogger and all that kind of stuff. So that I'm really grateful for the way that the App Store like completely eliminated all that kind of stuff, you know? It you could really trust an app, and it's still true. You know, look at the Google Play Store. It's full of malware and all kinds of dodgy apps, you know, that do all kinds of nefarious things. Whereas the App Store, I think, has really been remarkably free of any kind of like big scandal. There's only been a few cases, haven't there, of where someone's been able to sneak something in sneaky into the App Store behind Apple's back. And so, you know, this whole like charging 30%, you know, is that commensurate with the value that they add? There's a big debate about that. You know, should it be 10%, 15%, 30% is high. You know, for the services they perform. So there's a good debate about that, I think. You know, like what should Apple's cut be? I think there's a good debate also as well, like you said, about, you know, sort of like freedom of expression. You know, Apple has, I think they've actually been really remarkably liberal about what they let into the App Store. You know, I think they have a fairly, you know, they sort of err on the side of like letting everything in. They haven't really banned that much, you know, that many apps. There's been very few apps that haven't made the cut. And like you said, there are some kind of sketchy things that they do. I think the anti-competitive stuff, you know, like they wouldn't allow Valve in, right?
Because I was just going to bring this example up, exactly. Yeah, Valve's another high-profile one.
Yeah, that's a great example, because I think, you know, I think actually the platform would benefit from having multiple app stores. Like I could see how, like if Valve ran their own app store on iOS, you know, for gaming, that would actually be, you know, a big win, a big gain, because they already run a fantastic service, you know?
Right.
And Apple keeping them off the platform, I think, just hurts consumers. But of course, you know, it doesn't hurt Apple, and it doesn't hurt the App Store, because they're doing it because they want to build up the App Store, you know, to make it a destination for gaming. So, no, it's like a complicated debate. And this case, you know, I think has really significant ramifications for Apple, because if they decide that, you know, Apple has you know, being engaging in anti-competitive behavior and owes damages, I mean, the damages could be billions of dollars, going back, you know, all the way back to the 2000s, you know, whatever it is, 2009, with the debut of the App Store. You know, how much money has flown through the App Store? I can't even remember what it is now, but it, you know, is it like $10 billion a year or more they're paying to developers?
I don't even know. Yeah, something huge, mind-boggling.
So it's going to be, it could be a really, really big deal. A lot of money involved. A lot of, you know, people getting reimbursed, you know, a lot of damages could be paid out.
You know, like you said, I'm of two minds of it too. I basically take a laissez-faire attitude towards these type of things, right? Apple built the store. It's their thing. You don't have to buy an iPhone if you don't want one. But I look at the span of the marketplace now, and everyone is computing on a mobile device. And so if the Google Play Store doesn't let you into the App Store, if Apple doesn't let you into the App Store, you don't exist on the web. People aren't going to your website to browse your website on their mobile phones. That's just not what people are doing.
Well,
and so, I mean, they could.
You could argue
I mean, they
can. For a lot of services, you can get it through a browser. But, you know, like you said.
You can, but it's not nearly as polished, and it's not nearly as intuitive, and it's not something that most normal people want to do, I don't think.
I don't know. You know, like, this is, you know, like you could say, like, for publications. I mean, we have an app in the App Store, you know, the Cult of Mac magazine, which we publish every week, you know, at the weekends. And, you know, it's, I mean, it's never really taken off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have much traction at all, I'm afraid. You know, it's difficult to have any sort of you know, visibility really in the App Store, unless, you know, it's like having a podcast too, right? Isn't it? You know, like, mm-hmm. You've got to be featured by Apple, you've got to be promoted on the App Store, you've got to be, like, you know, they've got to surface your app or you have to be able to promote it yourself, you know, through other channels outside of the App Store. I'm not sure that you don't exist if you don't, you know, if your app's not in the App Store. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there's plenty of, you know, like, Twitter's a good example. I mean, you could use a Twitter client, or you could get it through the, you know, through the browser or through third party.
Yeah, but
clients.
How would you receive notifications on your phone? That the notification system built into the iPhone works with apps. If you don't have an app, you can't receive notifications. If you can't receive notifications, you're not really using Twitter. You might be reading Twitter, but that's like reading a newspaper at that point. You can't have any interactivity.
Well, yeah, you don't get notified.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a big deal. So there are distinct advantages to being in the App Store. I like the whole quality aspect of it. That's one of the reasons why I don't really want to see Apple lose control of the App Store. But I also think the argument that I own this device, I should be able to install the apps that I want to install, is a legitimate argument. I have a computer, and if you try to install an app on the computer, it will give you a warning and say, this app has been blocked because it's not signed or whatever. It's been so long since I've tried to do that, I don't even remember what the warning is. But then you can go into system preferences and turn it off and install whatever app you want. Why can't I do that on my iPhone? Why can't I turn off the default App Store and then use other app stores if I want at my own peril,
right?
And just do whatever I want. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be allowed to do that. I'm the one that owns this phone, not you, Apple. Why can't I do
this
that?
This goes to the very heart of, like, you know, sort of Apple's sort of, you know, the nanny state, the kind of, you know, protectionism. We're protecting you from your own worst instincts, you know, like it's, you know, Apple making these decisions for you, for its users. Uh-huh. Right. And uh-huh. I think, you know, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, you know, on the one hand. But I'm kind of, like, grateful that I don't have to think about that kind of stuff anymore, you know? Or I don't have to think about that for my mom. My God, can you imagine if my mom went crazy, like, installing her own apps? You know, I don't want to deal with that mess.
Oh, yeah, me either. I used to be my cousin's IT person, and she would, a computer would last 1 year under her administration. She'd install every browser bar you could possibly get your hands right on. There'd be icons everywhere, and her CPU would eventually just give up and die.
Yeah.
Because of all the spam that was on there trying to use compute
right,
cycles.
Right, totally. Malware and, you know, all these kind of, like, the advertising spam and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a horrible mess. I mean, if you let people do it, if you let people take control of their own devices, they're going to f*** them up.
And so, well, not me, not you. We're old pros. We know what we're doing. Oh, wait, blue screen.
Right.
I'm just saying I wouldn't mind having the option. And give us, like, give us some base level that can't be screwed up so that if you install some malware, you can just restore your device and wipe the whole thing out and be fine afterwards.
Well, that's wishful thinking.
Destroy it. Yeah, I know. Apple's not going to do that, but that's where this lawsuit is headed. Is if Apple can't control the App Store and people are allowed to push this lawsuit forward and say you can't control, use your monopolistic powers to control the pricing on the iPhone. Well, then what else can't Apple control, right? Because there's a lot of aspects of their devices that are locked down, and Apple controls those things. You buy into the ecosystem, and you know what you're getting yourself into when you buy an Apple device. And again, I don't know if it is a monopoly, because you can go buy an Android phone and just do that instead, and then have access to all the crappy apps you want.
Those are the arguments I'm going to be making for sure. Do you know who Robert Pepper is? Do you know how this case came about?
No, I don't.
I don't either. No, I'd be interested to look into that.
Oh, into the case. Yeah.
I wonder why who Robert Pepper is and why the case got.
Yeah, I don't know. He's probably some really super rich lawyer and he does class action lawsuits or something. Oh, no, I guess this has to be a plaintiff.
Yeah, it's
got to
be a plaintiff, right?
They got to put a plaintiff.
He's probably someone who. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to do some research after this.
We should look into this a little bit more. Maybe we can get him on the podcast.
Not a bad idea.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Well, hey, before we wrap up, I did want to ask about your book because I know it got some. Didn't it replace Michelle Obama's book in the UK? It became like the second bestseller or something.
It's the best-selling in the overseas markets for Penguin General.
So out of all Penguin's books, it's the best one.
Yeah, and it knocked. Wow. And it had been Michelle Obama's book for several months, I think 10 months or more. And so it knocked her off the perch. So Michelle's now number two.
Oh, sorry, Michelle. Number one. How dare you knock the first lady out of her coveted first place spot?
Right.
Well, wait a second. Why was Michelle Obama at first place for 10 weeks in Europe?
Well, overseas. So it's like I'm not really. They didn't specify which markets it was, but it's like everything that's being sold overseas. So it's. I don't think it is in Europe. I don't think it's a domestic market.
That's so weird. That would be like if the Queen of England releasing a book and it being like a number one bestseller here in the U.S. You know, it's like, why does anyone in Europe want to buy a book by Michelle Obama?
Is
she that famous? I guess I didn't realize.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. And it was a massive, massive book. I mean, she sold 10 million or more copies. I mean, it was being the biggest book it's been a big, big book.
What was the name of it?
Oh, I don't know. Becoming or something.
Oh, interesting. I don't know anything about it.
I didn't read it. I read about it.
You didn't even read it, and you had the audacity to knock it out of number one. We got to wrap this up. You are truly despicable. Well, people can get your book on Amazon if they want to figure out what all the hype is all about on Amazon right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Please, yeah, go there. Or Audible, the audiobook. People are liking that. That's really very, pretty good. I got some nice praise for it. People are liking it. It's got some good reviews.
Plus, it's about Tim Cook. I mean, are there any topics more interesting than that?
Not really.
Answer, no. There's your answer. That's all you need to know.
That's absolutely right.
Okay, well, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you think?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Well, that's all the cool casts we have for you guys this week. Hopefully you enjoyed this this banter about tariffs and Supreme Court cases. Yeah, only half of you will be back next week, I'm sure. Maybe half, if we're lucky. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. But hey, if you want to come reach out to us about any of the exhilarating stories we talked about on today's show, we're both on Twitter. I'm at Erfon. Erfon. Leader is at L. Caney. This has been the cool cast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cool cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, baby.
I didn't use that.
You gotta be sparing in how often.
Because otherwise it gets really irritating, huh?
Right? Haven't you ever listened to a radio show and they just use that constantly and then it interrupts the flow of the conversation?
Can't you get some Tim Cook ones in there, though?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to get some Tim Cook, and I also wanted to get some of you. So, like, when you're not here, I can have some Leander sound effects,
Okay, good idea.
Oh, no, you can't hear anything, huh? I didn't even know that you joined. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hold on. How about now?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What?
I can hear you fine now.
Are you joking?
When all else fails, check the volume.
Okay, all right. It was a problem. I got, you know, I haven't restarted the computer for several months, and there's quite a few tabs open. And
yeah, spiderwebs everywhere. No, it was literally my volume key. I just turned the volume up, and there you were.
Okay.
Hello, cool. Governor. Tip-top shape now.
Right. That's what Lewis is doing right now.
Oh, I know. I follow him on Instagram. He didn't even waste any time. I think they went from the airport straight to the pub.
Oh, well, yeah, not surprised. A picture of a cocktail, a pint.
Yeah, those are the only two pictures that I've seen so far is just them drinking. He traveled how many thousands of miles to go to some darts tournament on his vacation. That's what he used his vacation on.
Rather bizarre, isn't it?
Going to sit around with a bunch of other round fellows and throw some darts at a board.
Well, it looks kind of fun. They all get dressed up, and there's lots of drinking going on.
Lots of fist fights. Good-natured fist fights.
Right. Smashing bottles over each other's heads. It's all good fun.
Headbutts. Yeah. It's like when you grab the other guy by the back of his head, and you go, 1, 2, 3, and you just bump foreheads as hard as you can. You break my nose. Blood spraying everywhere. Sounds great, actually.